have one tree in my backyard. I live in a city, so that's not surprising. I am grateful that I have one tree. And out my kitchen window, that's pretty much all I can see because the window's so high that I really just get to see the tree and the neighbor's roof. And I love being able to see the tree because in the spring, the thing I see is the first buds on that tree. And in the fall, I get to see the last leaves as they turn color and fall. And so that's lovely for me, and it provides great shade in our hot Ottawa summers. Now, every year, like most trees, a few branches tend to die and need to be trimmed off my tree, and that's not a problem. But at the end of last summer, the whole tree withered. All the leaves drooped, and one by one fell to my back patio. And I mourned the fact that I was probably going to have my tree cut down. The one little piece of green oasis was going to go. However, last week, as you all know, it took a long time for the buds to come out this year. I looked out my window and at least two-thirds of the tree has green shoots on it. Great rejoicing in my kitchen. One large branch is dead and will have to be removed, but the rest of the tree seems to be alive. Now that one branch that is dead is going to have to be cut off because it will give the tree the best chance for survival, of course, as we all know. Now today's reading about the vine and the branches is an agrarian version of my urban tree. So it was written in a time when everyone was surrounded by growing things and lots of grapes and vineyards and all those things, and people understood what it meant to have to prune things and to have to burn things that were no good anymore. But then, of course, they provide fire and heat for people. Now it's not so much the case. I was astonished to find out a number of years ago that some people in the city don't even know that carrots grow underground. I couldn't believe it. I grew up on a farm. Surely everybody knew where carrots came from. It's not as complicated as babies, for heaven's sakes. But we don't have those same roots anymore in the land. And most of us don't even live there anymore. Our church and family experiences are similar. Most of us grew up with grandparents in our home, or at least down the street or in a neighboring town. We had aunts and uncles, and if they weren't ours, they were adopted by us. We had larger families, lots of siblings running around, older ones taking care of younger ones trying to escape, all those things around us. We had the church as the center of the community. It wasn't just a place to worship, it was a place to do business, it was a place to socialize, it was a place to meet your spouse at the dance. It was the center of all we did. Now we, most of us that are older than Benny, say, remember these days as the good old days. Have you ever said that? I bet you have. When neighbors knew each other, children could walk to the store or even the mall alone. And everyone's business was everyone's business. It wasn't all perfect, but it was the good old days. Just consider, however, for a moment, this just occurred to me this morning on the way to church, that our children, so Benny, when you get older, and our children's children, when you have children, Benny, this will be the good old days. Right now. We who remember our good old days, well, we'll be gone probably. And the good old days will be today, 2015. What an astonishing thought. Now, what will they think of? Probably a time when things were simpler. We only had computers. Who knows what we'll have by then? A time to be remembered, a time that seems very colorful, rose-colored glasses and all that stuff. It's quite a shift in perspective, isn't it? Instead of looking back to when all was rosy, thinking that right now we have a chance to make it be the past which will be remembered. What do we want to instill as good memories? Personal connection, if not with extended family, those we have adopted as our family. Sound values, things that we know are right and wrong, or at least we try our best to understand. A supportive community that embraces us no matter what we have done. I think that would be true for all of us. That's what we would hope personally, but also for our church in the community. Now, we all know it's easy to look back and feel the love. It's hard not to look forward and feel the fear. But we must be grounded in something. And in the old days, we could say we were grounded in our family. We were grounded in the roots of our farms. We were grounded in things. And now, what are we grounded in? Is being grounded as simple as knowing a few people that we see at the coffee shop when we go there? Is grounded as simple as having things, buying all the things we want in the world to keep us connected through the internet, through the web, but we never meet people individually? Or perhaps that's a way we reach out. What does grounded mean now for us? Well, today we're offered, and thank you, Glenn, for reading that reading, about love and being abiding with God and in God. I suggested to Glenn before the service he should just say, God is love, smarten up, love each other, and God is love. And that would summarize pretty much that reading. Over and over and over again. Exactly. But I think it's repeated, if it was repeated back in Jesus' day or in John's time that many times, it's probably because they didn't get it. And I'm not sure we get it any better now. Because love is something that we talk about lots and we celebrate as much as possible. But do we really get grounded in it? Because love isn't easy. Yesterday at Michael and Andrea's wedding, I reminded them or told them that there was going to be a time when they regretted what they did yesterday. I told them that I am sure that you will regret this moment. There will be a time when you will look at each other across the dining room table and go, why did I do this? And yet, a moment yesterday was a time of grounding them in the love of their family and their friends and some of you who were there, this their church community. That's what being married in the church is about, grounded in love. And now they have to try and abide in that love and show that out to the world and to each other. Everything that is born of God, it says in today's reading, is of love. So that's not a problem with us not being born of love. It's a problem of us trying to live it out. And perhaps more importantly, what it says is there is no fear in love. To love and not simply live in fear is to believe in something bigger than ourselves. To truly bear fruit, though, and to truly love, we have to change our perspective. We have to remember that sometimes we have to let go of things. Whether it be with our spouse or partner or perhaps child, we have to let it go sometimes, whatever it is, to give people a chance to breathe, to have a different space. We have to be able to cut off the things that are no longer useful to us, because energy still goes into the things that aren't perhaps serving us anymore. And who should know that better than the church, for heaven's sake? Just because we've done something all these years, whether that be in an Anglican church for maybe 1 year or thousands of years, we need to think about seriously what is it that keeps us growing and bearing fruit and what isn't. And we have to be honest about those things and let them go and say thank you and prune those bushes. But we want to make sure that we flourish. And it's a risky business. We might make some mistakes. We may choose to live and abide in the wrong things, or they may look wrong, they may feel wrong, they may feel terrifying. But if we don't take a chance, all that we know and believe in might die, just like I thought my tree was dying. Now, I didn't do anything to my tree over winter. I didn't, like, sing to it, which you will all know would be a bad thing and definitely kill it. I didn't pray for it. I didn't water it specially. I didn't give it fertilizer. I just thought about my tree, and I really take no credit for the fact that I woke up one morning and there it was, two-thirds alive. Well, that's kind of like us. We can't take credit for the fact that we were born in love. We can't take credit for the fact that God created us and loves us no matter what we do. But we can do something with it. And we have a great opportunity right now in our lives to move forward, to make those memories so that Benny can look back and say, those were the good old days at St. John's when I sat as a server between Michael and Karen and Wendy, and I smiled. Benny's always smiling, so I love it when he does it on cue. That's what we need to do, is create those memories. Bearing Fruit's risky business. It's going to show people who we are, what we depend on. It's going to show our love. It's going to show our heart. And it's going to show whether we're prepared to invest in the leaves that are blooming and thriving and growing, and not afraid to cut off the things that we say thank you for, but we'll now use for another purpose, as ashes to rise out of. So, God is love, love each other, smarten up, abide in love, and let's go into the future so we have a past to look back on and say, ah, right now, it's the good old day. Amen.